Hey there, guys, and welcome to another episode of Windy City Sports Talk. I have a very special episode here planned today. Basically, this is part one of a two-part series. I was inspired by a good friend of mine, who you've heard on this podcast on numerous occasions, Zach Kyleman. On his podcast, he recently interviewed a developer from the Doug Flutie Maximum football game. Basically, I guess the up-and-coming rival for the Madden NFL franchise by EA that's been around for a very long time and has basically dominated the pro football market in terms of video games. It was a really interesting podcast about how they're developing the game and just the story of how it's grown and what they're trying to do to kind of make themselves unique and stand alone compared to Madden and whatnot. So on this podcast today, we're going to get to Madden. Madden's going to be next week's podcast, the second part of this little special video game thing I got going on. But today I want to talk about another one of my favorite sports games, and that's NBA 2K. And I have a couple of good friends and fellow podcasters of mine, Cody Emerson and Yash Pitti. Before I bring them in here, just want to say, of course, I always love everybody checking in to this podcast, but also check out the podcast I do with Cody, Yash, and Zach as well, Beyond the Press Box. You can find it everywhere you can find Windy City Sports, essentially Spotify, Anchor, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts. So, but we focus more on just whole leagues in general, and for MLB, basketball, the NFL, you know, college sports as well. So, you know, go and subscribe to that podcast too, and we'll keep you guys covered and entertained with just about anything sports related here. So without further ado, let me bring them in. Yash and Cody, thank you guys so much for joining today.
Doing good. Just we got a lot of sports to watch, and that's kind of what I like. And then also, I mean, can't forget about video games. I mean, because when I'm not watching sports, it seems like I'm playing video games. So looking forward to a great discussion like we always have.
Oh, definitely, definitely. I'm glad to be on, Will. And like Cody said, whenever I have free time, I'm always playing some sort of video game, whether it's 2K, Madden, Call of Duty, always on Xbox every night. So, you know, I just love it. Really, it's a hobby and you know, really, really enjoy playing, and I know all of us do as well. So excited to be on and excited to be part of this discussion.
Yeah, and you know, it's different. Like, and of course, with sports in Chicago right now, they're going up in flames because the Blackhawks have made some big trades. The White Sox have let go of their manager, Rick Renteria. And I'm like, okay, when I want to take a moment away and do some fun podcasts that aren't specifically covering those teams, they want to make a bunch of big news. Yeah. So, of course, I got to try to fit that in, but I just wanted to do something a little bit different, spice things up, just have a little bit more fun and try a different topic that's still, of course, sports related. And I'm going to have you guys on again next week for the Madden one, and Zach will be able to join us for that one. But I know 2K has been, you know, a huge part of our gaming careers and lives, you know, playing over the years, because it's also like Madden. It's, I don't know if it's been around as long as Madden, but 2K, NBA 2K has just been a phenomenal game that's seen a lot of growth. And essentially, to start this off, you know, we'll get into details about, you know, things we like, what we don't like, the current state of the franchise as we're about to head into the next gen of consoles. You know, there's when a game like this has been around for so long and there's been multiple, you know, versions of it every year, they change things, they update. There's a lot on the table to discuss. So I think it'll be cool to kind of break it down. But really, to start off, the first thing I want to ask you guys is basically, you know, we'll take the trip down memory lane and, you know, get the nostalgia feelings out early. Just want to see how long you guys have been playing the game. You got any favorite memories or game modes or favorite aspects from playing these games over the years that you really like?
It's been a while. I've been playing 2K for, I believe the first one I got was either 2K10 or 2K11. It's been a while, and, you know, back in the good old days when you were just coming home from, you know, middle school or high school, didn't have a whole lot on your plate like we do now with our professional work jobs. I know we just come home and turn on and just get the nostalgia like you were talking about. Well, it kind of just gives me a nostalgia feeling just talking about these games, but that's where I started. I think, personally, the games were a bit more simplistic back then, and I personally just like that. They've tried to do just a little bit about my thoughts about these past few 2Ks. It's I'm just not as big of a fan as I was when, you know, it was 2K 13, 14, 15, 16. Those are the prime years for 2K, I think. But I'll still play the game. No question. I still enjoy it every now and then. But definitely, I don't think it was as popular. Well, 2K, the franchise, is still very popular. And people are still going to get the game. But it wasn't, I guess I'll say, as enjoyable for these last few ones as it has been. But you know what? That's where I started, was like 2K11, 2K12, you know, when they were doing the historic covers with like Michael Jordan on the cover, and they were had some, the music was great, the introduction videos that they do before the game starts, those were phenomenal. So it was a fun time back then, but that's where I started. And you know, I've been a 2K guy ever since. I'm still going to, whether or not the game's as good as it once was, I'm still going to get the game regardless.
No, I agree. I've been, like Cody, I've been playing for a while before I had, so I got my Xbox last year, but before that, I didn't have a console for a while before that, but used to play with friends at Ball State dorms and things like that. But before that, first time I played 2K was 2K5. In the early 2000s, PlayStation 2. So, play 2K5 with Ben Wallace on the cover from the Detroit Pistons. And it's crazy to, you know, you go in as with the topic of 2K, it just got me thinking today. It's crazy to go from me when I was playing the graphics back then in 2005, you know, 2000 to like 2004, 2005 to now 2020, and how much, you know, how much realism and how much there is now and how much has changed through the years. And like Cody said, 16, 17, you know, those are kind of the prime years for 2K. And, you know, really, I just enjoy the game and enjoy playing with friends. And I don't play really I play my career from time to time, but I like to play online multiplayer a lot and play my team quite a bit. So these are just two of my favorite game modes, and just kind of from where I started and played 2K5, 2K, 2K7, and then didn't have a console for a while, and then played with friends in 15, 16, 17, and then got 19 and 20 when I got my Xbox. And you know, like I said, been playing for a while, been acclimated to the game for a while, and really I really enjoy it. And really, like I said, really fun to play the multiplayer modes overall, particularly because there are times, and Will and Cody, you know this, there are times where I do kind of talk trash, so I do enjoy the trash talk in between with the online multiplayer.
Oh yeah, that's usually a lot of fun. And yeah, I actually got to play you in Madden again sometime soon, Yash, because it's still, that last loss I had over you is still looming. I don't think I've played any sports games with Cody yet, and I know I definitely haven't played 2K with you guys yet, but definitely. Hey,
Beyond the Press Box tournament going at some point.
I mean, I'd be down. I have more confidence with Madden compared to 2K, but I mean, you know, I guess you could say I'm pretty similar in terms of how it all started for me, in terms of how it did for you guys. You guys actually played 2K before me. I guess really my sports video gaming story is kind of similar to my, you know, fandom of sports in general. Like for the longest time I grew up, when I was really young, it was mostly football, mostly being a Bears fan and watching football, but slowly developed and paid attention more to, you know, baseball and hockey and basketball. And it's that translated into the video games too. For a long time, it was Madden, but then it was right around, I want to say it was 2K, 2K9. So NBA 2K9 is the first one I played. I got exposed to the game with a couple of friends, and then I developed a really strong interest, and I remember NBA 2K10, where that's where the first game I put a lot of time in. Like I did the My Career mode and whatnot. And I think I bought 2K11, 2K12, 2K13. I think I stopped I didn't get 14 and 15. I can't totally remember. I kind of started fluctuating because I'm like, you know, I don't want to spend like $200 on sports games every year since they're always kind of the same. So I just, like, 1 year I'd buy Madden, the next year I'd buy, you know, NHL, the next year I'd buy 2K or two out of three. It just depended what was more, what did I have most recently that I, you know, I wouldn't get it the next year then. But essentially I've played them all, you know, at friends' houses or even dorm rooms in college. I had a bunch of friends back in the days living in the dorms. Like, that was a feature, like every night, you know, when everyone's just hanging out after, you know, going to classes, we would just, you know, play games and have tournaments and things like that. So that was a lot of fun. And it's kind of cool to see the cover art change over time too. Like that the 2K10 one hits a little different these days with Kobe, but it definitely was a great one. And my favorite memory, because we're gonna talk about my player mode next, which we know is arguably probably the best be a pro my career mode in any of the sports games, and really, in my opinion, is the best mode in the game. It has been for quite some time. Is in NBA 2K10, you had an agent that would talk to you and like after every game, like talk about your performance and things like that. So like, I think in that game you had to start like playing in like the, you know, the G League or something. Like you were in, like you had to work your way up, like out of college, like you were undrafted and whatnot. So you had to play in, you know, lower level leagues. And if you had a bad game, this agent, he kind of sounded like, it reminded me of Stephen A. Smith. He'd yell at you. He would like just get on you. He actually would get aggravated. Nowadays I laugh about it, but he used to tick me off, and it was a really cool, unique concept that I don't know if it was in 2K9 or 2K8, like, because again, played a little bit of 9. I didn't play prior to that or get in depth with the game modes, but you know, you don't get that anymore. They have these big drawn out stories, different story modes and situations every year, which are still cool, but that agent aspect was a really funny memory of mine. Like I said, him just sounding like and reminding me of Stephen A. Smith, that's what makes him so memorable. But I want to ask you guys now, again, taking a look at my career mode, everybody plays it. It's the stories are kind of wishy-washy. Some years it's set up better than others. The writing could be cheesy. The acting could be cheesy, but they put the most effort and time into, you know, be your own player mode compared to Madden and some of these other games of different leagues out there. So I would just want to get your guys' thoughts on my career mode and just like what aspects of it do you like?
Yeah, well, it's my career. I mean, I love the fact that you can customize basically. Well, one, I like the fact that you can do this, basically have unlimited players basically. So you can, if you don't like one, that you can go in. It's not like if once you're built with a guy, they're not going to let you say, nope, that's the only one you can make, or you're stuck with this guy or whatever. They allow you to do like different positions, they allow you to test out a lot. And I think also, you know, with here in the most recent 2Ks, you know, with the My Player Builder and the demo or whatever, they've allowed you to test out some guys and see, yeah, I like this guy. Yeah, I don't like that guy. And to tweak some things. That's what I've really liked about 2K is they've, and then also kind of adding on to that, the pie chart system of how you build your character in these most recent 2Ks. I think that started in 2K20. I really like that. Because, you know, last time or in a few ones, you know, you could just basically make him dominant at everything. And now they've kind of slimmed that down to where you can be a great shooter, but you're going to suffer in a few other areas. It's a bit more realistic, I think. So, and then you know, when you're going through the storylines, you know, getting sponsors, getting like your agent and everything like that, you're going out to events and you're basically kind of seeing you go to practice. You can go to the gym, and you know, they've done a lot with, they call it the park, where you can just hang out. So they've done a lot, in my career over the past few years, and definitely made it more than, oh, yep, you get drafted, and now here's just your playing your games. They've definitely added a lot more realism to the game, and that's what I really like about it. is no, they try and say we're going to make the most authentic experience possible, and I think they're really doing that. So it's my career, especially these past few years, has been nice with all the changes that they've made. Not to say that the other my careers weren't good, because they were. I mean, but just for the time being, with more advanced, you know, technology and the things they're allowed to do, and just all the animations and dances you can do and stuff like that, to kind of just make people laugh and stuff. It's been really cool to see the evolution of my career. I think that's, like Will said, you said, well, it's been the biggest game mode by far. It's what everyone immediately goes to. I know. And also, the grind in 99 has been a real thing. Everyone wants to get that 99 overall. And just, so I really like it. My career, it's a thing that'll be a staple of 2K games for probably many more years to come.
No, definitely. I'm gonna echo what Cody said, and the realism, and you know, for, you know, I think of it as, for me, I'll never make it to the NBA in person, but when I'm playing my career, I really, you know, get in the zone, and you know, really feel like I'm playing on a roster, and I really enjoy, like Cody mentioned, the customization aspect of it. You know, when you first start off in the mode, like, they give you a bunch of your, like, physicals and things like that, with like speed, acceleration, strength, and you can kind of customize those overall. And then just going to practice, earning the, like, going through the grind of earning the money to upgrade your player. And it just, you know, I feel satisfied when I see my overall go from like a 60 to like a, you know, 65, 70, and keep going up and up. And I really like, the other aspect of customization is really like you can choose what you want your player to be. I have multiple, when I have mine on 2K20, I have multiple, my careers going. So I have a guy that I made that was like a center. And then I have a guy that's a point guard. And I really like the different, you know, they allow you to choose whether you're a spot up shooter and, you know, a passer, the other modes that they have in there, that you can kind of choose how you want your player to be. And then again, just like, building up those upgrades, going to practice, playing the games, like Cody said, park, I've been into a park a handful of times as well. So, really enjoy that mode, and playing against others, and just building up my player overall, and being able to have multiple my careers going. Really, I feel like it just gives me the versatility to say, hey, if I want to play as a center one day, if I get bored as playing as a point guard, I can create another one and play as a center, and build that way. So, really like the customization aspect of it, and just overall, and really like the interactivity too. So like after the games, they let you choose what, like, they give you different things that you can say, and that you can choose. And then it's like, if you choose this, your teammate grade will go up. If you choose this, then the crowd and your fans will go up. So you have that option there. And then, like Cody said, like, just, you know, the realism of the storyline of, you know, like after a good game, you sit down with your agent, you know, they kind of negotiate sponsorships and things like that, and trades and things of that nature. Really, really enjoy that aspect of my career as well.
Yeah, the mode has really grown over the years and has evolved into, I mean, again, like what I'm referring to, the way it used to play out in, you know, 2K10 is nowhere near what it is today. You get rid of the agent that's either praising you or yelling at you. But I mean, now you have these drawn out, you know, I know sometimes they miss the mark with the emotions of, you know, like, it's, you know, in 2K where you're, what was it, 2K20, the last one I played, where like your character just decides, hey, I don't want to play in college anymore.
You could, you skip know, right to the go, NBA.
Because he was upset. Yeah, exactly. And it's, you know, I will say, I wish they would make the mode a little bit more like an RPG type of game, where you can pick the dialogue choices, where you can make the decisions yourself, like in some other games. I mean, I know they'll say, like, oh, you could pick, you know, your top three teams that you're most likely to get drafted to then. you know, I that's cool to have. I'm okay with it being randomized just because it's the most realistic. But, like, I wish I can kind of craft my own story. You know, they make it so much like a movie. And I remember kind of getting bored and a little bit mad in 2K20 because I felt like the first 2 hours of playing my player is you're just going through the story. Now, I know you can kind of – you could skip through it and everything, but I wanted to get invested into it because it kind of makes playing the mode more meaningful because, like, you know, your character has a purpose. He's not just this character you create and you customize him and make him a – you know, a top 10 player in the league and make him your own version of a LeBron James or Steph Curry, whatever your, you know, your player preference is. But yeah, just seeing everything they've added and changed as the years have gone on and really evolved that mode. It's truly, I think, the best, you know, my career mode in any of the sports games. Madden has a long way to go. They're starting to change that a little bit. Apparently the new NHL game is promoting a new Be a Pro mode. FIFA might be the closest thing because they've tried to add a storyline to it, different types of storylines to it, similarly to 2K. But to stay on the My Player topic a little bit more, and I'll go first here, but I definitely, because you guys, the biggest important part of, I think, my career or My Player has that has evolved, and it's the best it's been, I would say, in the last two or three years, is just the way you can customize your player, customize your abilities and whatnot. Like my guy, for example, is like I'm a point guard, but he's like a playmaking slasher. So I'm like a Derrick Rose, Russell Westbrook that can do all these acrobatic layups and things like that and some great dunks. But I sacrifice being able to be great at the paint like that. I can't shoot the three ball for crap with this dude. It's driving me nuts. Like I go like 2 for 4, you know, 3 for 8 a game, something like that. So it's, you know, you, like I think it was Cody that said that you do what you do stock up in one area greatly diminishes and affects you in other areas. So, which is realistic. You know, Steph Curry, we know he's nothing like a Derrick Rose type of point guard, but he could shoot the lights out from, you know, back in the day, he used to shoot in the tunnel during warm-ups. So, you know, you kind of get to carefully like mastercraft your player as into what you want him to be and what you select in those like types. If you want to be a slasher, a 3-point specialist, a playmaker, things like that, also dictates how many of the how far up the bars of each skill you can, you know, spend VC on and continue to upgrade and make your guy better. And so it is kind of a challenging thing. Like you actually have to think about it for a while. And you bring up a good point, Cody, in 2K21. And this is another really good feature I like is the fact that you can try out different things. That's huge. I'm glad you brought that up because in 2K20, you picked what you were and you have to stay that. You can't really flip back and forth and reset things. Like once you pick that guy, that's what he is. You can make multiple characters, but again, it depends what kind of preference you have. Like I don't want to make 3 or 4 different guys. I just want to pick one and continuously invest in him. But yeah, that's basically what I am. I'm kind of like that Derrick Rose guy that, you know, can just, you know, attack the rim. I've actually boosted up. I can get rebounds like crazy too, which is, I'm probably a little OP with that. But yeah, I'm essentially your Derrick Rose, just beast in the paint with the layups and the dunks type of point guard. Curious, what is your guys' go-to build for making your own player?
A lot of people don't like making these, but I'm going to be honest, I do because I know with, you know, all the dribbling with point guards and stuff, I'm not that good at it. So I like to make centers and big men, who can, you know, do the dirty work, as they like to say, you know, set screens and grab the rebounds and what have you. And because, you know, with the pro stick, I believe with all the dribble moves that you can do, I'm not good at that at all. I'm just not. So I know kind of like where my, you know, strengths are and where my weaknesses are, in the game. And so I just usually make a big man. He can shoot a little bit. And this one I've kind of made more of a stretch, I guess, 5-4 or stretch power forward, stretch center type player to where he can shoot and he can grab rebounds. So that's basically all I need my guy to do. And also, I experimented, I think, a little bit last year. I haven't done it this year. I really did it, I think, in 2K, I think it was 18 or 19. It was one of the two, where I made a lockdown defender to where he couldn't do much offensively besides dunk. But I mean, I would be, you know, getting steals, not letting people get around me. I kind of like to make the builds that really no one likes to play with, I guess. Because, you know, everyone wants to be the point guard who shoot threes and just dribble and throw lobs to people. I'm not that type of person. I'm really not. So I just like to, I guess, do the dirty work, per se. And, you know, so you need that. I'm not trying to toot my own horn or whatever. You're playing, like, you know, with your friends or whatever. But every team kind of needs that type of guy. And you know what? I don't mind being it because I just, like I said, I know my strengths and weaknesses with the game, and I just play to those.
No, I agree with Cody, especially because I, like I told you before, I have two builds as a point guard and a center, and I'm definitely balling out with the center over the point guard. Particularly like Cody said, is, you know, like I can't, some, like when I'm playing with a point guard and I'm trying to, and I have tried to use those dribble moves that Cody mentioned with the stick, but you know, I just end up losing the ball, end up, you know, dribbling out of bounds and things like that. So I've definitely found more success as a playmaking center, just getting underneath and getting buckets, and that's essentially what I've found that I'm really good at, is just getting underneath, getting the ball, and just scoring at will. And like that, the one thing I will say with 2K20 that really irritated me at times though with that is that I would be open underneath and I would be hitting A to pass the ball. Or it's X on PlayStation to pass the ball, and really they wouldn't pass it for the longest time, and I get called for excessive pass, and it would bring down my grade, or I would be calling for the pass in the paint, and I'd get called for a 3-second violation much quicker than the actual three seconds. That was a little bit infuriating, but other than that, having the center, like Cody mentioned, is, you know, I like to score. I like to, have the ball. I'm not really great at defense. Especially when I'm using a guy on defense, not really great at defense. So being a center, being underneath and getting the ball and just as many points as possible, that really worked for me over the point guard, to where I couldn't really do those dribble moves with a point guard. And like I said, was going out of bounds and, you know, turning the ball over. I'm playing with the point guard. A couple games ago, I had so many turnovers, I couldn't even count them. So just, again, like Cody said, I think the build for the center really fits my style of play.
And you know what? Actually, passing accuracy is kind of a key thing to bring up there too. Because you know, as a point guard, you usually got pretty good ball handling skills. But yeah, me trying to pass the ball sometimes in the early days of my character, it's like, okay, 5 or 6 turnovers a game just from passes getting intercepted, because apparently the guy can't throw to the guy that's 2 feet next to him. But you know, you get some of those frustrating moments. But yeah, everything. It's interesting, you know, talking about all three of our own like personal, like preferences on the types of players. And I know you guys mentioned having different builds and stuff too, which just goes to show you the variety in the mode. That's what's so special too, is that you can, you know, one year you might be a point guard, the next year you try a small forward or center or something like that. I think next time, the next 2K I get, I'm definitely going to probably try a small forward. I've always been a guard, like a point guard, shooting guard. I want to kind of make my own like LeBron James version type of a guy. So I definitely want to try a forward position just because I haven't yet. You know, I always kind of like being that guy that's the floor general and, you know, having the ball in his hands going, you know, from one end of the court to the next. But I think it is time to try something different. But, yeah, you know, the career mode is just fantastic in 2K. It always has been. It continues to get better. And I think they made some huge strides in 21 in terms of, like, what Cody said about how you can actually test out some different, you know, player sets, you know, get an idea of what you may like, because you know, if you can't switch it or reset it in the middle of the game, you got to start from scratch again, which can be frustrating after all the time you have to put in to it. And we're gonna touch on like the VC, the currency system here very shortly, but I want to tie in, you know, my career into the multiplayer aspect, which you guys, I think, yes, you kind of got into it already about what's amazing about, and even Cody, you brought it up too, is another great thing that I think has been huge for 2K, and this started back in like 2K18, maybe, how you get the neighborhood, you basically get the virtual hub where you can meet up with your friends, play on the courts. There's other game modes you can play, tournaments. Sometimes they have special weekend events where they turn the courts into like a pirate cove or a castle or something. So they have those, you know, weekly or weekend different game modes and special events that happen, which keeps it going. But it's 2K. It's really a huge community. You know, you have like this little neighborhood essentially where you could walk into a tattoo parlor and get tatted up. You get to go to a couple different, you know, stores for, you know, new kicks, or, you know, you want to get a headband or something. It's the customization is great, but it makes it so realistic with how you have this hub. I mean, that's been a big thing with games of the last maybe 5 or 6 years, is having these hub environments for multiplayer, and 2K has been solid with it. So I'm just curious to get your guys' thoughts on how much do you like these multiplayer aspects to it? And really, like, just how often do you, like, what game modes, what do you usually play in, you know, the multiplayer aspect of, you know, the neighborhood and things like that, or my park?
I know usually, there's a couple different things. The one, and I do love the park and everything that you can do in it. And you mentioned it, Will. I mean, there's a little, I think, an arcade area, too, to where you can, also where you can do your daily spinning, get rewards and stuff like that. So it's always been, they've done a really good job with it. However, I will say the one thing that I think could be improved a little bit is, I don't want to say go full, like, skill-based matchmaking type thing where, oh, you get people of your level, per se, because I just don't, the one thing I'm not a huge fan of is, you know, you running into guys, say, us three were, let's say we're, you know, mid-70s overall, maybe low 80s, but then we run into guys who have like 95, 96, 97 overalls. That's, I wish they would, you know, have a bit better balance with that, but at the same time, I understand it. You know, people who've taken the time to level up their guy and make him good, they should be able to, you know, get a few, I guess, cheap wins, maybe, if you call them that. But overall, I think with my park and with multiplayer in general, you've seen a lot of, and especially I think this goes with, you know, they got a pro-am center too, to where if you and four of your friends want to hop on and create a team, you can design the team and then you can go up against some other guys. And you can also, I think, do that 3v3 and 5v5 thing. So it's been, multiplayer in 2K has been real fun. With all modes, I mean, you got my team to where you can, that's a different game mode, but you like build your own like fantasy team and then play against another person online, and that's kind of fun to do as well. But the park is where a lot of the things like to happen. It's just been, it's a fun little place to go if you're not wanting to really just grind. If you're done playing games and you're like, yeah, I really don't feel like doing this, I'll hop in the park and you can play twos. You play threes. I think there's even, Will, you mentioned it, I think there's some special occasions where you can go 1v1 and 5v5 and things like that. The one thing I will say, though, also about Park is on the twos courts, I'm not a huge fan of the make-it-take-it type of play style or the setting that they have it on, because, I mean, if a team gets on a run or something, that's basically the game. But I guess it challenges you to get a defensive stop, but it kind of unbalanced in my opinion just a little bit there. But overall, the park has been, I really like it. There's so many different things you can do, along with the events that you mentioned, Will, and it's just a fun little place to kind of just chill out and play. You can, I mean, heck, even if you got like four of your friends, two of you can hop on one side of the twos court and the other two can hop on the other side and you can play each other there. So it's a fun little place to just go and relax a little bit, I think.
No, I agree with you, Cody. I think that, you know, like, it's the realism that they've now, you know, with every each year that they put into the park is phenomenal. I play the park. I play my team. I play now online. You know, there's the online mode with the regular 2K teams overall. But yeah, no, with speaking of the park, I really enjoy it. Really, it's really, again, really a fun experience. And I've been, I don't know, I played a couple times. If you like get into the park and you go to, if you go off to the right, like you go into the red building or something, you can play a 5-on-5 exhibition game and get a bunch of VC that way. So I've played that as well. In the park, they just put you up with four random people, and then, well, on your team, and then just five other random people that you play 5-minute quarters, 5-on-5. With the one thing I will say with that mode is, like, if you're playing, like, no, I've only played that with like the four random people on my team, and the thing is like they will, like, if they're friends. Now, if it's just like five of us that are random, then like you get pass the ball equal amounts. But if it's like four friends and then me, four like people that are friends but random to me, and I'm in there, I don't really get the ball passed around that much. But overall, really really fun mode. And like Cody said, that's the one gripe. And the other one is like Cody mentioned, you get paired up with people with higher overalls than you. So I feel like if 2K moving forward could look into that and potentially, you know, make the skill level equal for each matchup, instead of having somebody who's the lower overall play somebody with like a 95, 96 overall player.
There's definitely a couple critiques to it too. It's as great as all the variety of game modes and gameplay that there is with, you know, that multiplayer aspect, that virtual hub. Cody brought up a good point about how I can't stand, like, even when you're just playing on the courts, the twos and the threes courts, it's there's no way of, like, having a matchmaking ability where it's like, if me and my buddy were overall 85 players and we get paired, if it happens that some other guy and his buddy who are, like, overall 99s or 95s coming along and they play with us, and, okay, my buddy and I are guards, and then these two guys are small forward in the center. One, they're always going to get the rebounds. They're always going to play the better defense because they're just the size advantage, and also their skills are better because they're 10 overall levels higher than us. Like, we're not going to win. You don't really pull off upsets with that. And that's something that me and I played with two friends a lot in 2K20. And even those guys, like, they were even higher than me. Like, I was, you know, I'd be like overall 85, 88. They're already in their 90s. And, you know, we're getting stomped by these guys that are overall 98, overall 99. These guys, they've maxed out everything already. So they're going to whoop us every single time. So I do wish there was a little bit more of a matchmaking ability. I think the game kind of got a little bit toxic too, in terms of you can take a three and then your guy starts doing like somersaults and backflips and stuff. I think those animations, those added animations and stuff, the realistic ones that you'd see during an NBA game with fist pumping and, you know, throwing up the three sign or something, like the realistic stuff, I'm all about. But these somersaults and all this other stuff, I think it's a little bit too toxic. And I know it's, you know, it's street ball, it's kind of, you know, the show off and everything, but like the Naruto running and stuff like that, I think it got a little bit out of control. I know back in 2K18, I think they fixed it in these previous renditions of the game, but like in 2K18, you were able to like design your own shirts, and there'd be guys they would design like guns on their hip, like paint like a gun, like a holstered gun on their left or right hip. And you know, even that, it's like, okay, you know, this is supposed to be a friendly thing. We're not playing Call of Duty or trying to tote guns here. So I know the community has gotten a little bit toxic, and I think the matchmaking, the lack of matchmaking, there should be an option for that than just, you know, hey, if I'm a new player in the game and I'm an overall 77 or an 80, you're not going to have a chance against somebody that's an overall 85 or 90. So there's definitely some changes there. And yeah, she made a good point too. Like some of these modes, like you have to team up with your friends, because if not, and you're not communicating with these guys in like a party, they're not going to pass you the ball and things like that. But at least with that mode, I think, you know, the way you form your team and who's playing what kind of position and what kind of a role your player's going to have. If you're playing with friends, that kind of makes more sense in terms of you might get dominated because you don't have a guy that's big enough to rebound and things like that. So there's a little bit more strategy with that when you team up with your friends. But when you're just out in the middle of the twos and threes courts, I'd love to have an option to be able to, okay, if I'm an 85, I'm only playing with people that are overall between overalls 80 and 85, like just so you have a chance, because I lost tons of games on those courts from the lack of matchmaking there. So
also the other thing,
go ahead.
There have been times where like I'm just on Xbox by myself and I'm like, all right, you know, I'll just get on the park or whatever. And then, like I said, I'll go in and I'll play that 5-on-5 exhibition mode in park, and it'll just be like, I get paired up with four random people and then I don't really get the ball. You know what I mean? Like, that's also kind of tough when you're playing that.
Yeah, I feel you. Mm-hmm. That's why I usually didn't play unless I was with my friends. I usually didn't play unless I had, you know, one or two buddies on at least, because it's really not designed to play by yourself, or you're just not going to have as much fun. As we kind of gear into talking about, you know, aspects and mechanics of the gameplay, game style, things like that, I want to talk about VC. This is probably one of my biggest gripes with the game. And this isn't just with 2K. I mean, we know right now the current state of gaming is kind of frustrating with, you know, if anybody plays Call of Duty or other multiplayer shooters and things like that, you know, there's the pay to win aspect with loot boxes, things like that, battle passes. And 2K has VC, which is virtual currency, which is literally the lifeblood of 2K. And it's almost everything in the game essentially is obtained via currency, whether it's player stats, new sneakers, other cosmetics, things like that, or these animations like, hey, you want to shoot the three ball and do a backward somersault? Great. Pay this amount of money and you're going to get it in the dang game. So, but then the thing is, they'll also say, hey, you can buy this amount. Like, for example, a $5,000 VC pack in NBA 2K20 would cost you $2. That doesn't seem like a big, you know, a big price. Mm-hmm. However, 5,000 VC doesn't really get you anything. You know, 15,000 VC, 35,000 VC, those bigger packs are more, that will give you a better chance of getting better items or upgrading your player more. But then you get into $7, $14, $15. You know, if you want to get 75,000 VC, you got to pay $30. You're already spending $60 on to get the game alone. And you know, to be fair, you can get the VC through playing games and grinding online, but it's a grind because you hardly get enough VC. You have to play for a couple of hours essentially to be able to afford, if you want to buy your guy a new outfit or you want to finish maxing out his shooting stats, you got to play for hours upon hours, games upon games. Or you could literally go to, and I'm looking at a screenshot here because I'm, you know, referring to some information, but, and I could picture this in my head. I don't even have to look at this screenshot, but I have to bring it up for the sake of theater of the mind here with the podcast. But you guys remember the spinning wheel where you can win VC and other attributes and free items at some of the stores? Yeah, well, this picture shows the player who's spinning the wheel. He's watching it spin and he's like holding his hands together like he's praying for something really amazing. And this is a true accurate depiction of what it is because it's all by chance, but you're almost pleading that you're lucky enough to get the 5 hours of double VC or the 2000 VC or the, you know, whatever item on the board that you want, because there's a variety of them. But the VC, even on the board, you only get, I think the most is like 2000 VC, or if you get the ability, the 5 hours double VC. So curious to get your guys' take on the whole VC situation, because we know pay to win aspects are in essentially every game at this point, anything that's multiplayer related.
See, when I first got the game 2K20, I spent like so many days just grinding out. I didn't even spend any, like, I still to this day haven't really bought VC. I've earned it through playing. But yeah, no, I understand, what you're saying there, Will. It's like, you have to play on hours. Like, I spent weeks upon weeks, like, trying to get my guy to at least an 85 overall. And then, you know, I saw other people that were, you know, right away, they had their guy 85 overall. And you mentioned the prices there, for the VC packs. And I'm looking at this piece of information here. It says it takes, in 2K20, it takes 190,000 VC to get to 85 overall. And so really, you know, it's, it, I, Now, like, I look back and I'm like, what was I doing? I probably should have done something in terms of buying a little bit of VC, but I don't know. I just felt like overall, it's just like, I'm like, I want to, I like that aspect in my career of being able to go through it and grinding out, you know, seeing that overall number pop up every week or so. And so I enjoyed that. So I didn't really buy any VC or anything like that. So I think it's, again, I like you mentioned, it's in every game now. I mean, Fortnite, you know, any emote that you want in there, you know, you got to pay V-Bucks. They call it V-Bucks over there. It's, on Fortnite as well. So it's in every game, but you know, I think it's just, I don't know, like for me, I think it's, I wouldn't, like you said, you're spending $60 on the game. Like I'm already spending a good chunk of money on the game. I don't want to be having to, you know, seeing that thing. And I'm like, all right, you know, like I don't want to have to spend $30, you know, 30 more bucks, just for VC. And the thing is like, you know, like I play, you're going to play 20 for a year and then you get into 21 and then you kind of have to do the same thing, build your player up again in 21 too. So, you know, it's kind of like, I want to grind out those games and try to build the player up that way. Cause you know, you're going to spend money, you're going to spend that $30 or whatever to build your guy up. And then once 21 comes out, you can get 21 and then build your guy up again through there. So I think it is a little bit overpriced, but that's just my opinion overall. And, you know, and I know, like, again, you can get to that overall number a lot quicker by spending the amount of money or the appropriate amount of money to get there. But for me, like I said, I just enjoyed grinding through it each week.
Yeah, with the VC, it's, I mean, there are more, I think, negatives to it than there are positives. But I will say that 2K has done, at least in these last, I think, 2 to 3 years, they've added... Mm-hmm. To you could just use, you know, oh, you buy all this VC and instantly as soon as you buy the game, you can get your guy to a 99. But they've kind of modified that to where, and I think you brought it up a little bit, Yash, where you have to earn like an attribute upgrade to where you have a certain amount, like when you first create your guy, to get him up to an 85 overall. But after that, you have to earn it, like, by playing games and doing whatever, actually,
yeah,
you know, be able to progress. So I think they've improved on that aspect a little bit to where, you know, instantly you can't just become a superpower player in the first week. So they've been I think that's where they've done a good job. But on the other side of it, and this is more about the customization about your guy, say you get, you get a Derrick Rose jersey or a Jimmy Butler jersey or a Chicago Bulls player jersey that you just want to rock, and you find an outfit that your guy is really, you really like, and you just want to, like, rep it with all your characters. Well, you have to buy the same outfit for each of your characters. Like, so if I get a, you know, Victor Oladipo jersey on one guy and I pay, you know, 10,000 VC or however much it is, I don't know how much it is, for that one guy, I'd have to pay that same amount of money from the next guy I create and the next guy I create. So that I do not like at all. Like, the customization aspect of your character really doesn't carry over. You have to continually buy the same, like, outfits, say, even though you bought it for one character. It doesn't, like, carry over. So that's where I don't like it, that they're trying to get you to spend more money on the game, and I get that. And in-game purchases, you know, unfortunately, they've taken over. You guys brought it up, not just, I think, Yash, not just, not just 2K, it's, you know, Madden has it. I know Fortnite, obviously, was kind of the first to really get it going. It even worked its way into Call of Duty. So, we just have to work around it, you know, with it. We're still going to buy the games, as I like to say. We're still going to enjoy them. But there are those people out there who will instantly just, we like to use the term, I think, use mommy's credit card. And just to kind of, you know, level up and everything like that.
Especially with Fortnite.
It's unfortunate. The kids game. But, you know, it's an aspect of the game that we all have to deal with and we'll work through.
Well, here's the thing. You guys both brought up Fortnite. I'll give Fortnite credit with one thing. The gameplay doesn't change because it's entirely cosmetic. Yes, is it frustrating to be, and that was another college fad. My roommates and I, we played Fortnite almost every night for the heck of it, trying to get those dubs and everything. But, you know, at the end of the day, Fortnite, the game was still the same. It's just sometimes you got mad when, unless you bought the Battle Pass or if you grinded on even the non-Battle Pass, you know, the stuff that you could still earn, it's frustrating that you play these games for so long and you really get nothing for them. Like right now, I've actually been kind of addicted to Rocket League. I've been playing a lot of Rocket League. I didn't buy the Rocket Pass. They do give you a lot of free stuff for not getting it, but it's like you have to play for so long and then you only get certain items. Like you have to buy the new cars. You have to buy some of the tires and things. And it's like, okay, if I'm clocking in hours upon hours a day or a week on this game, especially now with, you know, we're still kind of, everyone's still trying to stay home or pay attention to how much they go out because of the pandemic. But, you know, especially during quarantine, if I'm clocking in all these hours and I only unlock one or two things because I'm not paying extra money, it's like really, like where's your reward system for those that continuously play your game? There's hundreds of games that people could be playing right now. And if these game companies, I feel like, should be kind of lucky that you're sticking around with, you know, their game. Because, yeah, I could play 2K, then hop on Call of Duty, then hop on Assassin's Creed, and then hop on Battlefield, then hop on, I can, there's five or six games I can actively play right now that I have that, you know, that I have been bouncing around from. But, you know, if you get those gamers that are dedicated to your game, I feel like there could be a little bit more of a reward system, especially with 2K. Like, the game is a grind, I will say, and I'll give credit where it's due. In 2K20, they kind of revamped it to where, you know, you don't start as like an overall 60 player, which is great, and it's more realistic because you're not, you know, if you're getting drafted in the first round of the draft, you're not an overall 60 player because otherwise you'd be undrafted. So it made sense that I think they start you in the low 70s now. And also, it didn't take, like, to fully upgrade your player, it still takes a ton of VC, but your overall rating still goes up quicker because you don't have to fill out all your skill meters to essentially get to overall 80 or overall 90. Like, as every time you upgrade a little bit, you slowly start going up one overall, two overalls, three overalls. So the progression has gotten quicker, but ultimately to get all the cool animations, to get all the cool apparel and swag, and to fully upgrade your player, it takes hundreds of thousands of VC, where you can, by the time you attain all that, the lifespan of the game's already over because the next one's coming out. Or you go the other route of spending hundreds of dollars to get that stuff. So it's definitely, it's not the worst system in the world, but I think it definitely could be better. But again, it's all preference on how dedicated you are to the game. And if you really want to spend the money, I'll say this.
I agree with you there.
Sticking in the realm. Go ahead.
You know, that was kind of my main takeaway out of this, the way that system is set up, is like essentially, like I said, with 2K20, it's like you play that for a year, then 21 comes out and you have to start over. So you're spending money on 20, and then you play that for a year and the lifespan of the game kind of runs out, and then you get the new game and you have to, you know, it's a constant cycle that they put you in.
You're absolutely right. And for me, like, I'm a full-on gamer. Like, I'll play a bunch of different games. It's not just one genre, like sports. Like, I'll play Call of Duty. I'll buy other multiplayer games, and I love playing single-player games where I could just chill by myself and get, you know, invested in a story. So, you know, I may play the game for 2 or 3 months, but then something else comes out. Or what, 2K comes out in September? You know, the holiday season's when all your hot games come out. So I could play September and October, and then November rolls around. You know, the new Call of Duty is coming out. There's 2 or 3 other, you know, AAA games coming out from major companies. You know, it's kind of tricky, especially with the lifespan of sports games, because they come out with new ones every year. That's why, like I said earlier in the podcast, I don't buy all these games every single year, even Madden. And now Madden, you know, lifeblood and soul. I've been playing Madden. I remember playing Madden on the computer in the 90s, like, you know, the old PC that my parents used to have. It's like, you know, that's the game I fell in love with, and it's still my favorite, even with everything great I say about 2K. But, and next week's podcast, we'll cover a lot more with Madden. But, you know, it's I've kind of lost an interest in being a committed consumer every year to spend money on games that change very little, and then they still ask you to spend even more money after. It's kind of been a turnoff for me. But sticking in the realm of kind of criticism, things that we may want to pick at and be nitpicky with, I want to ask you guys, is there anything else you want to see change with gameplay or game modes and things like that? Like, I know probably one of the biggest things people criticize every year seems to be the ever-changing shot mechanic and the shot meter. Like, I heard it's different again in 2K21. People kind of mock the game because they're like, oh, every year in the trailer they show you the sweat on the players and the beautiful graphics. But, the graphics are great. People care about graphics for a certain point. Then it's, okay, is the game playable? Is it smooth gameplay, or do I get frustrated every 5 minutes? I know even NBA players like Damian Lillard, when the game first came out, 2K21, he's like, y'all make a free throw yet? I haven't made a single one, like on Twitter. So even the NBA players were getting mad at the game. I want to get your guys' thoughts on that, on this ever-changing shot meter, and is there anything else that just you want to see change here? And 2K21 is something that's maybe a reoccurring thing in the franchise's history.
Well, I will say with the shot meter, I mean, it's been 2K21. It's not good. So in 2K20, they made it to where I think it was a little – you could make – a lot more of your shots with a lot more ease, and people complained about that. And so 2K basically, they said, okay, we hear you and we'll change it. But this year they overdid it. And that's my big concern, or my big complaint, is there is a fine line between, and I know it's a very small fine line, but it's your job as a game developer to find out where that is. Because now in 2K21, it's gotten a bit better since the game's released. They've released a few, I think, updated patches, but it's still very difficult. I'm not saying I need to make every single three, but I should be able to make a wide open three, you know, with insert player here who's really good at shooting, and more often than not you'll miss, and that's the big frustration. Is there is that fine line in there with the game? And also another thing that I'll say real quick is there is a broken move, a dribbling move in 2K every year. 2K, I don't think I found it yet in 2K21, but I guarantee you some people will. But in 2K20 it was the hop step. To where people were just hopping right past people into the rim, and you could play perfect defense and still give up a bucket. Excuse my terrible pronunciation of words right there, but there are some changes. I mean, that I'd like to see, and hopefully we'll see these different changes in next gen. They have already said, came out and shown gameplay, they're changing the shooting meter in 2K21, and I personally think it looks a lot better. We'll see when the next gen consoles and games get released. So, but there are some things every year, and that's just my thoughts. Is there's a broken move usually every year, which I would love to see. And also, you make roster changes and roster updates all the time. I'd love to see, you know, in-game patches about, oh, we fixed this move, so people can't do it as effectively. That's just some of the things that I would like to see, you know, hopefully change as we move forward here in 2K21.
I definitely, you know, agree with everything Cody said, and really want to, you know, really think that everything that Cody says, you know, are valid changes that 2K needs to make. I think I'll add two more onto that. Number one, the passing mechanic, cross-court passing mechanics are really annoying at times, where, you know, I'll be at one end of the court and I'm trying to throw it to the other end of the court, and it'll just go out of bounds, you know? And I'm like, obviously the player can make that pass. Or like, I was playing with the Cavs in 2K20, and I've seen Kevin Love throw from one end of the court to the other to multiple players and then go out and dunk it. And I'll see one of my guys, is Colin Sexton, was wide open on the other end of the court, and I was trying to throw it deep to him, and it just went out of bounds. Like, he was wide open. He could have made that catch. And so I think 2K's got to fix that overall, in terms of their passing mechanic. And the other thing, like Cody said, is, you know, I know we've been playing 2K, Cody, and I know you've been frustrated as well when I think you were playing with the Warriors one time and Steph was wide open and couldn't make threes. So I definitely feel you there. That I think that overall, the passing mechanic has to change along with everything that Cody had mentioned. Cause it, again, it just gets frustrating time, where I'm just trying to throw it. And the guy can't catch it and it just goes out of bounds. When I know in real life that this guy can actually make that catch. So I think when 2K says, I feel like I'll think of them as realistic when they actually make that change, because really that's a realistic pass that some of these NBA players can make overall, that I think the game isn't allowing me to make overall. And the other thing is, I get called for 3 seconds before the actual 3 seconds happen. I don't understand what it is. Like, I'll be sitting in the paint for like 1-2 seconds and try to move out, and I'll automatically get called for 3 seconds. So I think 2K has got to look at that too and try to fix that too, because I feel like they're cheating me in that I'm getting called for 3 seconds before the actual 3 seconds occur. So I feel like they have to change that mechanic as well, in that or that kind of aspect of multi in the game as well.
Yeah, I mean, the shot clock or anything that has to do with time in the game, you know, 3 second calls and whatnot, like, that's huge. Like, that's stuff that's installed into the coding of the game and whatnot. Yeah. Well, anyways, like, the broadcasting aspect is amazing because of the fact that the interviews, too. Like, they interview different guests and whatnot. So the commentators, it's not only top notch play by play, but like, just the color commentary and the stories they tell, too, that are really amazing. That it's just, again, you're playing a game, but you feel like you're learning something new. Like Madden, like, I go nuts because the commentary is so so repetitive. It's ridiculous. So just seeing some changes
the dialogue has changed. Fantastic. Well, I know Cody and I talked about this too. Whenever we used to play, whenever we used to play in the dorm room, and we play 20 now, is like, anytime I play with the Lakers, the color commentator is always like, and every time I use your Kyle Kuzma and I score a basket with Kyle Kuzma, he's like, Kyle Kuzma, who had a tough upbringing in Flint, Michigan, you know, and it's always that same line. And he's made it to the NBA, and I'm like, okay. I think I score,
sometimes it does get repetitive.
So I feel like 2K's gotta, it is much better in terms of the commentary than Madden, but overall it has to, it still has a little ways to go to improve on that one.
There is a little bit more. Absolutely. Absolutely. I will say though, they are definitely the front runners in terms of the video game, sports video game, that has the best variety in terms of just the broadcasting and whatnot. It's really top notch. It's all realistic. So, but yeah, it comes to the point that even Cody made a good point that, you know, in the next gen, can we get in-game patches that fix gameplay and whatnot? You know, they update these games during their lifespan. You know, you see other games that aren't even sports games, they always add new content. They always make patches to fix gameplay and animations and things like that. And that is a huge thing, is people find a flawed animation in every game, like every year's game, and they exploit the heck out of it. So I think that would be crucial as the technology gets better in these consoles, that there's really no excuse that if they're going to make patches and upgrade things when the game's out, you know, a couple weeks later or a couple months later, you know, do those things that keep the game's lifespan and keep players around, because some stuff does get frustrating. So, you know, the graphics there's going to come a point where I think where you can't, you can only improve the graphics so much. I mean, I don't even know if you're going to see much of a, no one's really bragging about the graphics in this next gen. It's more of loading times and things like that. Like, these consoles are going to perform better and have more storage so you can have more games downloaded and stuff like that. Like, it's the upgrades aren't like for the Xbox One and PS4. Everybody was talking about, oh, the graphics are going to be better. The graphics. I'm sure the new gen that's coming up next, PS5 and the Xbox Series, it's going to be even better graphics. But it's not going to literally look like what you're seeing out of your own eyes right now when you look around your room or your house or outdoors or whatever. So at the end of the day, gameplay matters the most. So and the animations and the mechanics and all that, but. Well, that about wraps up this podcast. Thank you so much, Cody and Yash, for coming on. It was really great. I know this is only part one. We got part two coming up here next week. Yeah. And our buddy Zach is going to join us for that. We're going to talk about Madden. I know I'm hyped for that. Even a bigger Madden guy. So that'll be another really good one. So I thank you guys for coming on, sharing your thoughts and opinions, and a nice little bit of nostalgia, just to see how old we are and how long it's been since we first started playing, right?
You look at the impact that 2K has had. I mean, the My Career kind of transition, and we'll talk about this next week in part two of this and with Madden, is that the My Career for 2K kind of inspired the QB1 mode in Madden. And you know, you look at what 2K, again, I talk about the impact that it's had. You know, when I was in Memphis, I got the chance, we did a research project on esport, and I got a chance to interview the head coach of Grizz Gaming, the NBA 2K league team, for the Memphis Grizzlies. And you know, he was talking and he said, like, literally the 2K is like the only video game that has a sponsored league that the NBA, like the actual league of the actual video game, is sponsoring its own league. So like the NBA is sponsoring the 2K league. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, what the NFL does with this, and you know what the NHL may do in the future, you know, with NHL and Madden, those two video games potentially sponsoring a league like 2K. But you know, 2K has had a wide ranging impact on variety of sports video games overall.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great point, Josh. I mean, you bring up the e-gaming and we didn't even touch on that.
Yeah,
that it's absolutely, I mean, people are making that their careers now. And it's hard to believe that you'd get paid hundreds of thousands of dollars to play video games and get good at them. But,
yeah,
I mean, that just shows the evolution of video games, and 2K has played a big part in that.
Oh, yeah, they absolutely have. And one last thing I'll bring up is, again, the cultural impact of 2K is, like, even in quarantine when everything, you know, got suspended and, like, everybody was shuttered in their homes, you know, the ESPN was broadcasting that NBA players 2K tournament they had going on. I checked that out a couple of times. So to be able to still kind of stay connected with those guys and everybody still finding ways to entertain each other, especially it was rough in March and April when you literally couldn't go anywhere and you hardly left your house because everything going on, you know, you had to find extra means and extra ways to entertain yourself. And that was just another unique one, a unique ability for the players to stay connected and just the community as a whole with the gamers that like the game, the fans.
And Cody brings up a great point.
People bored at home trying to find something to watch on the damn TV.
Fortnite did this too for a while, where they had like parents hired coaches for their kids to get good and earn money through the game. I was talking to the head coach of Grizz Gaming. He said, like, there's young people that are playing now that their parents are doing the same thing at the 2K level to try and get them into the 2K league. You know, and try and get them drafted in the 2K league, and they're hiring these coaches that help them get better at these, like we talked about, these builds, these My Career builds and things like that, and strategize. So it is, again, my last point here is it is very interesting to see, like you mentioned, Will, the cultural phenomenon that 2K has had on these other sports games.
Yeah, it's literally more it's more career options, it's more ways to make money. It's really wild the things that you could do, and it's really cool. And I said, you know, I always say technology, the numerous different types of technology we have is phenomenal. So, but anyways, thank you guys so much for joining this podcast. I look forward to talking to you guys again next week with Madden, and of course, getting our fourth counterpart, Zach, in here, because I definitely want to ask him about that interview he did with that game developer for the Doug Flutie Maximum Football game, too. So thank you guys so much for coming on today. Thank you to everybody listening. Be sure to like and subscribe to this podcast, which you can hear anywhere, anchor.fm, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, literally just Google Windy City Sports Talk, and you're going to find this podcast on essentially any podcasting platform out there.